One of the more popular exhibits, either at the zoo or aquarium, is oftentimes the playful sea otters. They are energetic and lively as they interact with one another. They almost seem to have their own personalities, that they gather a crowd and garner attention, that they are fascinating. They are native to the North Pacific Ocean, where it gets so cold in the winter. And they are extremely versatile, able to live on land or in the water. They have these thick coats that keep them warm during the colder months. And they are so bright, able to pick up rocks and use them as tools as they forage for food on the bottom of the coastline. And they usually forage very early in the morning. So like many of us, when we get up early, we spend the middle of the day resting or sleeping, which of course is when other predators are awake. So when they are resting or sleeping in the middle of the day, they practice what is called rafting, where they join paws with one another in groups of 10 to 100, lying on their backs, sleeping in the water. That they practice rafting when they are most vulnerable. And as we grow up in this world and we are launched out into it, we know that there are all these responsibilities that we have to take on, that we have to learn self-reliance, doing things for ourselves like changing a tire, managing a checkbook, writing a resume. But equally as important, and perhaps harder to learn, is knowing how to rely on others, how to join hands with those who are around us. And we find a hint towards this in the story of Christmas, that Mary and Joseph are engaged, but then they get the news that Mary is pregnant, and Joseph panics a little bit. He is not sure what to do. He considers letting go of Mary's hand, just dismissing her quietly. But the angel says, don't be afraid. Mary will have a son. You'll name him Jesus. He will save people from their sins. But Mary and Joseph are in this vulnerable place. That for months, everything went smoothly. They had settled on the music. They had picked out the flowers. They met with the organist. They registered for gifts. But now everything changed. That Joseph is reevaluating what to do, wondering if it would be easier for him if they did not get married. But Joseph decides to take a chance. As Brett Younger points out, Joseph, throughout the history of the church, has been named the saint of many things, the saint of fathers, of immigrants, of travelers, of real estate, of engineers, and of course, carpenters. But Younger thinks that Joseph needs to be the patron saint of taking chances. The kind of chances where we dedicate ourselves to loving others, where we embrace the challenges and the opportunities of the shared journey. where we join hands with one another. And for this, Joseph holds on to that prayer echoed in the words of the psalmist, "Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we might be saved." To know that someone is holding on to us as we move forward. Because the psalmist feels that fear of vulnerability, where when we are immersed in that kind of fear, there are times we can become angry with God, wondering, why is this happening to me? But instead, the psalmist reaches out to God for help, which so many times we discover that help in the hands of those that are around us. The hand of a friend who offers us constant support. The hands of our family who continue to show up for us no matter what. In the hands of the family of faith who are there for us in ways we did not know we needed. That they tether us to the mercy of God. That we are invited to take a chance on commitment and community. But we have to hold on. It's like that well-worn story of the child who wants to go to the circus. He lives on the outskirts of town, but he saw the flyers on telephone poles and he overheard the conversation at the barbershop, and he could not wait to see the elephants, the jugglers, the acrobats. So he gets odd jobs and extra chores and scrapes together a small amount of money, which was large for him. And the day came when the circus was coming to town. So he walks into Main Street, and you could feel the excitement in the air. People were lining the streets. And all of a sudden, he heard this music. And he turned around, and it was a full marching band coming down the center of Main Street. And right behind them was a trainer leading the largest elephant he had ever seen. And acrobats doing somersaults in the air, and jugglers throwing bowling pins up and down. That he reached down into his pocket and he pulled out a couple crumpled dollars and he handed it to a clown that was walking by. And then he turned around and he walked home. The only problem was he missed the circus. All he saw was the parade. That he needed to hold on a little longer. That Advent invites us to wait and to watch a little longer. To join hands with others, to wait with them, to walk with them, because it reveals to us the steadfast love of God. Joseph is part of the supporting cast of Christmas, but as one of the main characters, Mary had a similar dilemma. The angel told her, "Don't be afraid." But she goes and sees Elizabeth, who's in a similar situation, pregnant with John the Baptist. And she knocks on her door. And when Elizabeth answers it, they stand there in the threshold of the house, holding hands. that whenever we find ourselves standing in the thresholds of life, those places of opportunity and challenge, of change and transition, in those moments of decision, we need to hold on to the hands of community and to God. Because we find the love of God within the shared journey. It's a love that pushes back against the fear. That on Christmas, we see the love of God in a child, vulnerable and fragile. That on Christmas, God takes a chance on us, reaching out to take our hand. And we are invited to do the same. Dylan Helbig is a second grader in Iowa. And like many second graders, he decided he was going to write a book. So he spent all day writing about a Christmas adventure. The book's 81 pages long. He authored the story and illustrated the pictures. The title of the book is The Adventures of Dylan Helbig's Christmas, C-R-I-S-M-I-S. It's about an exploding star on top of the tree that transported him to the first Thanksgiving and then to the North Pole. And when he finished writing the book, he wanted to share it with others. So the next time he went with his grandmother to the Ada Community Library, he took it with him. And when she wasn't looking, he went into the children's section and put it on one of the shelves. Well, about a week later, he confessed to his mom what he had done. Kind of proud of it at the same time. So the next day they went back to the library to retrieve the book. But when they went to the children's section and they checked the shelf where he had placed it, it was missing. So they went to find the librarian, hoping that the book had not been thrown away. And the librarian had discovered the book. And he took it home and he read it to his 6-year-old son, who thought it was the funniest story he had ever heard. So the librarian made this book part of the official library collection. And it was checked out constantly by popular demand. In fact, at one point, there was a waiting list of 55 people. That Dylan had taken a chance to share his story with others. It is the gift of the shared journey where we join hands with others, celebrating everything that is good and holding on to one another through everything else, where it is not my story, that it is our story. And as a result, it becomes the story of God's love. Amen.